Melissa and I had not been at Southside very long. One Sunday night, I was making my way up to the front of the church building before services, shaking hands, and came to two twin boys who were sitting on the front row. At the time, they were probably 7 or 8 years old, and I shook their hands, and one of them said, "Mr. Bubba, are you preaching tonight?" And I said, "I sure am." And he said, "You are?" And his face lit up real big, and my head got real big. He turned to his twin brother next to him and said, "He gives short lessons." And that's why he was excited. Well, I don't plan to preach very long tonight, but I do covet your attention. In the few minutes we will have together as we consider the Word of God. Hope you've enjoyed the day. My family and I got to go see my parents who live not far from here, and got me a nap and watched the Texans, which today was the same thing. We're glad to have Melissa's parents with us tonight, Bill and Mary Klutz. Hope you'll have the opportunity to meet them this evening. Always glad to be with them. Thank you for being here, for your interest in the Word of God. We're going to be studying Genesis chapter 39, and I want to invite you to open your Bible and be ready to read from there in just a moment. As you're turning there, may I remark that nearly 20 times in the Scriptures, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are mentioned together. And those three patriarchs serve as a symbol not only of God's covenant with Abraham, but of his relationship that he had with Abraham's descendants, the children of Israel. And so when we read about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we think of God's covenant and the promises he made and fulfilled to Abraham long ago. But have you ever noticed in the book of Genesis how much space is given to telling the story of the fourth patriarch, that is, the son of Isaac, Jacob? In fact, if you were to look at the book as a whole, Jacob gets more space than anyone else in the whole book, save for Abraham, the father of the faithful. And I think there's a reason for that. God is not just hitting the main highlights of Jacob's life or just scanning the few things that happened, but great detail is given to the things that happened to Jacob. And I think one of the reasons for that is because all of us, at one time or another in our lives, have been where Jacob has been, have we not? Anyone here ever felt betrayed by your own family in the flesh? Anyone here ever been accused of something that you didn't commit? Anyone here ever felt abandoned and alone and forsaken? We've all been there. But who of us have responded the way Jacob did? Who of us have had our faith come under attack and hit after hit after hit stayed true to the God who we knew would see us all the way through? Who here have done all those things and more and responded in unfailing faith like Jacob? Perhaps that's why so much space is given to telling the story of the fourth patriarch. We're looking this week at building up the body. The point I want to emphasize tonight is there are times when the body feels torn down. There are times when even God's children get discouraged and wonder, is all this going to work out? Is this really God's plan? So if you've ever felt that way, I want you to know you're not alone. But let's go back to the story of Jacob. See how he responded, that we, like him, could find our names written in God's book of life. Genesis 39 begins this way. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the bodyguard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who'd taken him down there. And the Lord was with Joseph. I've been saying Jacob the whole time, haven't I? So he became a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now his master saw that the Lord was with him, and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight, and became his personal servant. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he owned he put in his charge. And it came about that from the time he made him overseer in his house and over all that he owned, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. Thus, the Lord's blessing was upon all that he owned in the house and in the field. So he left everything he owned in Joseph's charge. And with him there he did not concern himself with anything except the food which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And it came about after these events that his master's wife looked with desire at Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house, and he has put all things in his charge. There is no one greater in the house than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God?" And it came about, as she spoke to Joseph day after day, that he did not listen to her to lie beside her or be with her. Now it happened one day that he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the household were there inside. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and went outside. When she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled outside, she called to the men of her household and said to them, "See, he has brought us a Hebrew to make sport of us. He came in here to lie with me, and I screamed. And it came about when he heard that I raised my voice and screamed that he left his garment beside me and fled and went outside." So she left his garment beside her until his master came home. She spoke to him with these words, "The Hebrew slave whom you brought to us came in to me to make sport of me. And it happened as I raised my voice and screamed that he left his garment beside me and fled outside." Now it came about when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spoke to him, saying, "This is what your slave did to me," that his anger burned. So Joseph's master took him and put him into the jail, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the jail. But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him, and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. And the chief jailer committed to Joseph's charge all the prisoners who were in the jail, so that whatever was done there, he was responsible for it. The chief jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made to prosper. Joseph was called by his older brothers the dreamer. But he never dreamed his life would take the twists and turns that it took. And I want you to see tonight, he remains an example to all the children of Abraham by faith of how we ought to respond when our dreams appear to be in doubt, when our life seems to be in shambles. When we need building up because we feel torn down. The first thing I want you to see from this fourth patriarch, number one, you don't have to be a slave to your circumstances. You don't have to be a slave to your circumstances. Joseph was hated by his own brothers. In fact, if we were to read earlier in the text, it would say that they couldn't even speak to him on friendly terms. They were so jealous of him because Jacob, Joseph's father, gave him special privileges and gifts. And so they decided that they were going to take him and kill him, and probably would have, had not the oldest son, Reuben, intervened. As it turned out, they sold him to the Ishmaelite traders who were coming by, who then took him down to Potiphar's house in Egypt, and he became a slave in Potiphar's house. Now remember, this was a young boy who had visions of his father and mother and other sons bowing down to him. But now he's become a slave. But did you notice the phrase that put bookends on our chapter for tonight? The Lord was with Joseph. And in the first part of the chapter, it says he became a successful man. At the end of the chapter, it reminds us whatever he did, he prospered. Joseph may have been a slave, but he was not a slave to his circumstances of life. Some people seem to be looking for the perfect life. They want to have the perfect marriage, who the husband and wife never have any disagreement. They have perfect children who never misbehave. And they live in a perfect house that never needs any repair, drive a perfect car that never breaks down. And should there ever be some kind of problem in life, it ought to be solved in some 30-minute episode, like on television. But that's not the way life works out, is it? That's not the way it works out for God's people. That's not even the way it worked out for the fourth patriarch in the story of Genesis. And so when life deals us that way, all too often we just throw up our hands and concede defeat and say, I can never make anything of my life. I can never be successful. Not so with Joseph. The Lord was with him, and so he became a successful man. The Lord was with him, and so whatever his hand found to do, he prospered in that. You don't have to be a slave to your circumstances. Let me tell you tonight, you don't have to be a slave to bitterness. You ever notice that the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15 that bitterness, he said, is a root? That's because it's something that can grow and fester and grow roots and dig down deep and lead to someone who is so hard-hearted that they can't find anything good in anybody. And even when someone tries to extend a hand to help, it is quickly cut off with the idea that I can do it by myself and I don't need help from anyone. You ever known someone who could just find the negative in everything? I mean, it didn't matter what was going on. They were going to spin it in such a way that it seemed unprofitable. When Melissa and I were at Texas A&M going to school, we had kind of a summer like we had this summer in Houston. It was very dry. And so just like we've done this summer at the services, we're praying for rain. And finally, after a long period, it rained like it did today. I mean, it just rained and rained and rained. And one of the sisters, who every time services came was complaining about the heat and the dryness, I thought, well, now she's going to be happy. And she came in and defiantly shook out her umbrella and said, well, we needed rain, but we didn't need this much rain. You ever know anybody like that? You say, well, I can't think of it. Well, maybe it's you. Some people just always want to see the negative. And they become a slave to bitterness. It incarcerates them. But you don't have to do that. You don't have to be a slave to discouragement. Instead of assuming the worst, what about hoping for the best? You don't have to be a slave to selfishness. Instead of asking, why me? You can ask, what can I do? How can I help? We learn from the story of Joseph, in times when we feel discouraged and downtrodden and despair, we don't have to be a slave to our circumstances. You know, that's where the word happiness comes from. It's what happens. And things like that change. But joy is constant. And so we can rejoice in the Lord always. And not be a slave to our surroundings. Well, secondly, we learn, when you've been wronged, you still have to act right. When someone does you wrong, you still have to do the right thing. That's no excuse for bad behavior. Someone else noticed Joseph. 17-year-old boy. Handsome in form and appearance. And the wife of Potiphar. I suppose we could call her the original desperate housewife. She saw this young Hebrew boy who had been brought into her home. And it wasn't just a one-time proposition. Did you notice that? Day after day, the text says, she was after him. Lie with me, she said. And did you notice how Joseph responded? Did you notice what he said in verse 9? How could I do this great evil? We could get caught, right? How could I do this great evil? You might get pregnant. No, how could I do this great evil and sin against God? Joseph did not have the attitude of, well, I'm down here in Egypt, I'm a slave, my whole family's forgotten me, I might as well enjoy myself while I'm here. He said, the Lord has been with me. How could I sin against Him? For such would be great evil. Joseph understood in all that had happened to him that committing fornication would not bring his family back. Giving in to the temptation of sexual sin would not make all of his problems go away. Would not make his life perfect once again. In fact, he knew all it would do was complicate things and make matters worse because it would separate him from the God who had been with him. When you have been wrong, you still have to act right. But you know, man has a tendency to add trouble to trouble. You ever notice that? The husband has a bad day at the office. Someone else got credit for work he had done. Some project he had been working on had been assigned to someone else. And so he comes out home and just lashes out at his wife and children. Well, that makes the day better, doesn't it? The teenager feels like his parents don't understand me. And they don't know what it's like to be a young person today. And so they sneak off and go out drinking with their kids, with their friends. That's helped the relationship a lot, hasn't it? Now they'll really trust you, right? The wife has a husband who won't communicate with her. And so she confides in someone who will. People who are just friends commit adultery. How's the communication gap now? Even when you've been mistreated and people have said things about you that are not true, Joseph was later accused of rape and he did the right thing. You still have to be godly. Because sin never makes a wrong right. Why is it that we think that getting further away from God is somehow going to make our life better? Is it that when we ought to be drawing closer to Him and holding on with faith and confidence that He will see us through. Let our behavior, no matter the circumstances that surround us, be pleasing to Him. He is our Master who is in heaven. And when we've been wronged, as one little boy said, I got stabbed in the back right in front of my face. If that happens to you, you remember, you still need to do the right thing. Has God changed? Did He do that to you? Let's treat Him right. Well, we learn the third lesson when we're torn down, when we need building up, when we look at the story of Joseph. We find number three, your plans may not always meet with God's purposes. The life you have mapped out and everything that's going to happen and fall into place may not be the same direction God has in mind. Did you notice how the chapter begins and ends with similar threads? Notice verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph. Now look at verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph. Look at verse 3. Now his master saw that the Lord was with him, and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. And then verse 23, the chief jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made to prosper. They form bookends of our chapter for tonight. And so whether Joseph was in Canaan or in Egypt, whether he was in his father's house or Potiphar's house or prison, the Lord was with him. The Lord had not forsaken him, but rather was causing all things to come together to his plan and purpose and glory. Can you imagine how many times Joseph must have prayed that God would release him, that God would somehow deliver him from his circumstances? But you see, if Joseph had not been kept in that jail for 2 years, they wouldn't have known where he was when it was time for him to interpret the dream of Pharaoh. And if Joseph had not been sold down into Egypt, he could not have interpreted the dream to cause Egypt to save during the 7 years of plenty, to have to share with Jacob and his family who came from Canaan to Egypt during the famine. And for the next several hundred years became a great nation as God had promised to Abraham. You see, the answers to our prayers don't always come on our timetable. They happen according to His time. The Lord was with Joseph. Do you have faith that the Lord is with you? You ever notice that sometimes in order to see things, you have to hold them further away? I see people all the time, they're reading their text messages and they're holding their phone way out here. You ever do that? Sometimes we can't see things very well because we're right in the middle of them. That's when we need to step back and look at it from God's perspective of His throne in heaven as He looks down. And we see sometimes it takes a long time to look back, but we see where He's planning and purposing and placing things in our life according to His time, not according to ours. I still remember praying about this young lady who didn't feel the same way about her, didn't feel the same way about me that I felt about her, and I asked God to change her heart for her. He said no. But you see, I thank Him for that now. because I went to meet Melissa. We had Morgan and David. The Lord was with me. And Paul says he causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Romans 8 and verse 28. In the original language, the word causes and the word works is the same. So it could read this way. And we know that God works all things together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. God is working. Do you have faith he's with you? Would you notice one final passage with me in Hebrews 11? As the writer of Hebrews is reminding his readers about all those great heroes of faith, all of those great people of God, and the works that accompanied their faith. Look what he said about our character for tonight in verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. How did he do that? By faith. He knew that the Lord was with him when he brought him down to Egypt. But he knew that would not be his final resting place. And so with literally his dying breath, he said, when God brings you out of Egypt and takes you to the land sworn to my fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, you dig up my bones from this grave. You bury me in the land sworn to my people. May all of us have confidence as such in the plans and purposes of God. How will you respond the next time you feel torn down? The next time you encounter various trials? Will it be like Joseph? You see, when the Lord is with us, our dreams really can come true. Because he is preparing a promised land for us, a place of rest, a place for the faithful. He will be our God. We will be his people. Do you have that hope of heaven tonight? If not, we want to encourage you to come and confess your faith in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, and according to his commandment, be baptized and have all your sins washed away. If you've become discouraged, you want to ask for the help of your family, your brothers and sisters in Christ, if we can assist you, we want you to come right now while together we stand, while we sing.